Hello, welcome to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post for another week of insight from our expert football tipsters. To preview some of the international action as well as some EFL action this week, I'm joined by Dan Childs and Warren Ashurst of the Racing Post Sport Desk and Jonathan from our sponsors, Paddy Power. As I said, gents, international football this week. There is some EFL football I'm sure Dan Childs especially will be absolutely delighted with. Dan, international football, can you take it or leave it, or are you excited for it?
I can leave it normally when it's friendlies, it's always interesting, I suppose, with England to see what how Southgate's team's developing. And a lot of the talk, I think, over this first game against Ireland, I think it'll be over whether Jack Grealish is going to start.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on, Jack.
No, I was just going to say, were you surprised with some of the names in that squad?
Bellingham was the interesting one, wasn't it? But, he started his career well, wasn't he, in Germany? So that's another exciting one, looking to the future. But no, most of it's, as you would expect, really. The problem is, I think, with Southgate at the moment, is he seems to have sort of stuck on this rather defensive style, doesn't he? With often playing Declan Rice and Jordan Henderson in front of a back three, and it's hard work to watch at times.
Warren, what are we thinking ahead of this international footballing schedule? I know the Masters on as well. Where will your attention be?
Well, I have to say, probably more towards the Masters, bearing in mind recent international games that we've seen. I think it's bad timing, not just because obviously the Masters, and we know it wouldn't normally be this time of year, but I also just think the game going on and having to rearrange fixtures, and of course we've had 3 weeks of back-to-back European football as well. I genuinely do think they could have done with a week off, and I think probably most of the players are probably a bit lethargic going into this week as well. I think certainly the qualifiers, in terms of the European Championship qualifying playoff games, we're going to see more competitive matches, but I think with the friendlies you can kind of understand the pace being slow.
Yeah, definitely. It was fascinating to see Vida of Croatia last night substituted after 45 minutes because he received his COVID test back at half time and it returned positive. So that's there we go. Jonathan, welcome to the podcast, mate. Let's get stuck into England against the Republic of Ireland, 8 o'clock this evening, Thursday the 12th. So hopefully you're listening in time to this. Show of the odds, and what's your angle for this?
We've got England at 1-4, 7-2 the draw, and 17-2 Ireland. England's record against Ireland hasn't actually been very good. We obviously won't mention Euro 88, but we haven't beaten them since 1980. We don't very often. Four or last five meetings have ended 1-1 and the other being 0-0. I think England probably will have too much quality on this occasion. Ireland, to me, are lacking sort of any guile up front and any cutting edge. They've got Troy Parrott and Obafemi in the under-21 squad, and they've had Callum Robinson withdraw due to COVID, so they brought Sean Maguire in. For me, I watched Ireland against Slovakia in the qualifiers. They were very unlucky. But I don't think, to be honest, I don't think England have much to worry about here. For me, I think I'm going to go for England -1 and Jack Grealish first or any time if he plays in a more advanced role.
Dan, with England fours on, it's going to be tricky to find value here. Have you been able to?
I think so, yeah. I'm going with the angle, as I touched on, about Southgate playing quite a cautious setup. I'm going to go with England and under 3.5 goals, a shade of odds on 5-6, what was a decent way of bumping the price up. You're looking at England. I mean, since the first lockdown in matches, they've scored 6 goals in 5 games. I mean, 3 of them were in the friendly against Wales when Grealish had a really good game and we did play well. Even that would, if a repeat of that happened, it would still cop with this bet. Two blanks we've drawn against Denmark. We needed a penalty, didn't we, to get the 1-0 against Iceland. So it's been uninspiring stuff, really. And, I mean, the issue is there's issues at the back as well. I mean, with Gomez getting his injury, probably Maguire will play here because I think he's suspended for the first of the Nations League game. So he might actually start this game. But I think those issues at the back for England might not be too much of a problem because, I mean, as has been mentioned there, Ireland have not got a lot up front and even less than normal this time with you've got Aaron Connolly's out as well, isn't he? Who's been starting for them recently. I think probably their best bet at the moment up front. You look at what's there in the squad now, and you've got Sean Maguire, one goal international level. James Collins, one goal international level. Ronan Curtis of third tier Portsmouth hadn't scored. And Adam Ider, who you'll know, Jack, from Norwich. It's not the greatest battery of forwards, is it? And I mean, no surprise that in their last eight games, Ireland have scored just two goals. There's a real lack of cutting edge up there. The better players are at the back. Shane Duffy, Matt Doherty, John Egan, Dara O'Shea. I mean, there's plenty of top level experience there, and that feeds into the tip again. I mean, I think they can keep it tight, but maybe lose by a couple of goals. England and under 3.5 goals.
Great stuff, Dan. Warren, we'll get your tip, but what are these international friendlies actually beneficial? I mean, you know, what are we gaining from them?
Not a huge amount. I mean, Gareth Southgate will say that he can see some of the players at international level that he wouldn't necessarily always have a chance to have a look at. I mean, Jude Bellingham being one of them. And I know Nick Pope's going to start in goal against the Republic instead of Jordan Pickford as well. But yeah, we don't see, from a punter's perspective, you don't see a great deal because you're thinking, well, how can you take anything from a form guide out of that when England go on then to play Belgium? Because it's likely to be a completely different team. So you're right. I think it is really difficult to look into it too much. I completely echo what the other guys have said. I just don't see any goals in the Republic of Ireland side. And I think England should win pretty comfortably. I sometimes feel that, you know, England play a bit better when they've got fringe players in there because they're given the chance to impress and because they see this as their opportunity. And as I say, I can't see the Republic scoring really. And an England win to nil for me at 11 to 10 looks like good value.
Yeah, that sounds good value. Great stuff. Two games with a lot more on the line than that England game. Also this evening, 7:45, the pair on Sky Sports Football and Sky Sports Premier League. We'll start with the European Championship qualifying fixture in Group B, Northern Ireland against Slovakia. Jonathan, how are Paddy Power pricing this?
We've got Northern Ireland 6-4, 9-5 the draw and 21-10 Slovakia.
Big game this. Which way do you see it going?
I think the home team win this one. We were yesterday 7-4 Northern Ireland. We clipped them into 6-4. I just think, for me, they've got more experienced pros in the ranks. Johnny Evans, McNair, Dallas, McGinn, Lafferty can all sort of add a lot for Northern Ireland here. It's a massive game for them. If it had Windsor Park been fully open, I think that price would have been a lot shorter on Northern Ireland with the home advantage there. They are going to have around 1,000 fans, I've read it, in the stadium. But to me, Slovakia, when they played against the Republic, they didn't really offer a right lot. And to me, I think they're reliant on Hamsik. They called up an experienced centre-half in Skriniar and from Inter Milan. And Suslov has also looked good at Groningen this season. But goalkeeper-wise, they seem to chop and change a lot, the Slovakia. It seems to tinker around with his team quite a bit. There's a temporary coach. And for me, I just think Northern Ireland, I think they're still worth a bet at 6-4. I'm going to go for a home win in 90 minutes here.
Dan, are you in agreement here?
No, I'm going to tentatively go the opposite. I'm going to go for Slovakia. I just think they're a little bit overpriced. I think the Windsor Park effect, I mean, having 1,000 in compared to having it full, I just think it's absolutely massive. I think I could have understood Northern Ireland being, you know, favourites, with a full Windsor Park. I think without it, I'm just looking at the two teams. I think actually Slovakia have got the edge just on quality. With M6, who has been mentioned, I know he's 33 now, but he has got 26 goals at international level and there'll be a lot more assists as well. They've also got the midfielder, Stanislav Lobotka plays with Napoli. Skriniar plays with Inter Milan. Robert Mack, who's the winger, plays for Ferencváros in the Champions League. So I just think there's a bit more quality there than there is in the Ireland ranks. I look at Ireland, Northern Ireland up front, and you've got Josh McGuinness, Connor Washington, both playing in League One. Cole Lafferty playing in Serie B. Liam Boyce playing in the Scottish Championship. I just don't see quality there. I know they're a team that does get the absolute most out of their ability, but I just think, looking at the players, not a lot of home advantage. I'd just side with Slovakia.
One vote for Northern Ireland, one vote for Slovakia. Warren, you can get the final say on this game.
I'm going to edge towards Northern Ireland, but I will go with them to qualify at 8-11 because I could actually see this going all the way to penalties. Neither team seem to score that many, but they're both defensively strong and I can't really see more than one goal in this game. So I'm going to go with Northern Ireland to qualify. As I say, they got through on penalties in the last stage. It could well be the same this time around. If they are looking at, the punters are looking at a potential anytime or first goal scorer bet, worth looking at a couple of Northern Ireland players for me. George Savile's been in good form for Middlesbrough this season. The midfielder has got already two goals to his name in the Championship and he's 7-1 to score at any time against Slovakia. And Stuart Dallas of Leeds also gets forward well, probably gets forward more at international level than he does at club level. And he seems a big price at 10-1 to score any time as well.
Next up in Group C, also 7:45, Serbia taking on Scotland. Jonathan, a massive game this one for Scotland. Can you see it going their way?
No, I can't, unfortunately. I just think Serbia, you know, they're an interesting outfit. We're 8-11 Serbia, 12-5 the draw, and 4-1 Scotland. When I looked at Serbia's team, you know, there's some very experienced players in there. You know, you've got Kolarov along the back line, Tadic, Mitrovic, all, you know, experienced former Premier League players. And Scotland, I don't know if they've got enough for me. But I think they will give the back line of Serbia some trouble. It just depends whether what type of Mitrovic shows up. I think Serbia go on and win this game. But if he's found wanting and, you know, he's up against Liam Cooper, which is a big plus for Scotland after he missed the previous match for them because he was injured. For me, if Serbia sort of play a 3-5-2 and it's sort of an aging back three, then they could potentially be exposed. But I'm going to go for a draw half-time, I think, and Serbia full-time. I think that's the bet for me here.
Great stuff, Dan. I mean, you look at Scotland's form and it's impressive. Unbeaten in eight international fixtures, winning six of them, going up against a Serbia side that haven't scored in their last two matches. So a big chance this.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, it's one of them games where if you looked at just the players on paper, you could see why Serbia are such a short price. But when you actually look at the results, Scotland are actually, you know, grinding out a lot of decent results. They're actually unbeaten in eight games, three consecutive clean sheets as well. And Serbia, they're falling into the flatter to deceiver category, I think. I mean, you look at in the Nations League group, they've had four matches, not had a win yet in a group with Turkey, Hungary and Russia. I mean, it's a team really that looking at on paper, you'd expect them to do a lot better than that, but they're not doing it. So I'm not so sure about Serbia at that price. And I think this is a game that could go all the way to penalties. I think the forward price, 11-4, looks big to me. Serbia up front, I mean, Luka Jovic, you know, the move to his big move didn't really work out. Did it to Madrid. Mitrovic, as has been mentioned, he's not in the greatest of form at the moment. So you're worrying about where their goals are going to come from. And the same with Scotland, really. Very little cutting edge there. So they're kind of reliant at the moment. Lyndon Dykes has got a few goals for them, but he's playing in the Championship for QPR. I think a very tight game. Draw the bet for me.
Bring on the 0-0. Warren, I mean, 22 years since Scotland qualified for a major tournament. They'll be absolutely desperate here, won't they?
Yeah, they will. And I actually think they're quite a decent price because, like the guys have already alluded to, you know, the confidence will be high after a recent run of results. And Serbia are not the team, in my opinion, that they were. And I also think it's a big help for Scotland that there's going to be no home fans there as well. I do think that kind of takes away the home advantage, particularly in what is a really vociferous atmosphere in Serbia. Like the guys have said, Mitrovic has not been great so far this season for Fulham, and you just wonder which one of him is going to turn up. Lazio's Milinkovic-Savic might be one to look at in terms of a goal scorer at any stage during the game. He's been in reasonably decent of late, but Scotland have, let's not forget, they've not been in a great deal of scoring games, but they have scored in seven of the last eight matches. And they will need to go for it at some stage in this game, obviously, to try and qualify. So I don't think it will be massively high scoring, but I am tempted by the both teams to score market of 6-5 because of the need to go and win this. They probably won't want either of them to have to rely on the nervous penalties. So both teams to score is 6-5 in this game.
Interesting. No, very good. We're going to go for a quick break and we'll be back very shortly for the UEFA Nations League action and also a look at League One and League Two.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post. Myself, Jack Reeve, joined alongside Dan Childs, Warren Ashurst and Jonathan Smith today. We've taken a look at the international friendlies and also the European Championship qualifying action. Now let's turn our attention to the UEFA Nations League on Sunday the 15th, coming up this week. Let's start in Group A2, Belgium, taking on England, Sky Sports main event. Jonathan, the prices here, please.
13-10 Belgium, 9-4 the draw, and 2-1 England.
Which way do you see this one going?
I think we can beat Belgium here. I'm fairly optimistic. I know in Copenhagen, England were awful. We weren't the best there, but I think, you know, coming off the back of that Belgian game, I don't know, it's an interesting one. I think, for me, there's nothing really much to fear in that Belgium team. They did outplay us in the first half, admittedly, at Wembley, but England shuffled the pack a little bit at half-time, and I think that massively helped. And I like the fact that we played a flat back five that day. It sort of nullified Belgium's sort of front three, in my opinion. I think playing Kyle Walker potentially alongside maybe Dier and potentially Mings or Cody at centre-half. Yeah, we got Kyle Walker back in the ranks, obviously, in terms of defence and his pace, as sort of acting as a sweeper. I think we could utilise that to good effect, you know, because Belgium are a pacey team. They're missing Eden Hazard, which is huge for them, as Martinez has said in the media. And just for me, I think at the price at 2-1, I think I'd probably have a dabble on England here to win this one.
Dan, we obviously all know about England. How are we rating this Belgium squad at the moment?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the best team in the world. I mean, which is where they've been ranked, you know, recently. But it is one of the strongest squads and teams in Europe. Like any squad, I mean, there's strengths and weaknesses. I think at the back, you know, there's maybe an issue there that they're aging slightly. The likes of Vertonghen and Alderweireld, who actually play fullback generally for Belgium, are probably a little bit past their best. But I mean, in attacking positions, you've got De Bruyne in midfield, Hazard obviously when he's fit. Mertens is still, you know, excellent as well, despite being in his 30s. Lukaku getting bundles of goals, up front. So, no, it's a strong team. I fancy Belgium to win this one. I thought they were the better team, started better at Wembley recently. I thought they tailed off a bit second half, partly because England improved, but partly I think Kevin De Bruyne, when he went off injured, I think it took so much out of the Belgian team, in the latter stages of that second half. So I think they'll be stronger this time. And I worry about that England defence with Maguire being suspended, Gomez now being out. I'm just not sure how they're going to cope with those Belgian players I've mentioned. And I think if Grealish doesn't start this game, I think there's a possibility England could actually be stronger in the friendly against Ireland, then it's creative-wise, and they are against Belgium. It's all right having Raheem Sterling, Harry Kane and Marcus Rashford playing. You need to get a quality service to them. And I kind of wonder where that may come from. So Belgium for me.
OK, Warren, I mean, as Dan's alluded to there, some of the players, both squads, you know, bundles of quality. Which side comes out on top?
Yeah, I have to side with Dan on this occasion. I think Belgium look a good price at 13-10. They actually came from behind on Wednesday night with a weakened team as well to beat Switzerland 2-1. And it's actually, you have to go back into September 2016 for the last time they were beaten at home. So you would think that, you know, those odds, it's really tempting for a home win. Also worth considering as well, 17-10 for a penalty to be awarded in this game. There were two in the match at Wembley between the two sides in October. There have been penalties in three of the last four Belgium games, and there's also been penalties in the last two England Nations League matches as well. The 17-10 for a penalty at a time when referees seem quite keen to point to the spot at the moment.
Yeah, loads of people loving that penalty angle at the moment. There just seems so many, doesn't there, with the kind of rulings and VAR, etc. Group B1, 7:45 kickoff again. All of these games on Sunday. Austria against Northern Ireland. Jonathan, take it away.
We're 2-5 Austria, 100-30 the draw, and 13-2 Northern Ireland.
Home side short. Can they do the job?
Yeah, I think so. I think this game tonight, obviously Thursday, will take a lot out of Northern Ireland, I feel here. They haven't done really well in these Nations League games. They've sort of struggled in the group. It's been quite tough, admittedly, you know, Austria, Norway and Romania. Not the easiest sides to be playing against. And for me, I think Austria probably will have too much here. They're looking to try and take it into the final day when they play Norway at home, which is a huge game to decide the winner of the group. So both them and Norway will be looking to win these matches. And for me, Sabitzer up front, the captain, Austria, all experienced pros at this level, quite international level. And to me, they look a tricky proposition going forward. It's a tough call for Northern Ireland to go after this playoff, to go then and play two games, similar to how Ireland found it when they got beat in Slovakia. They sort of struggled to get motivated for the next two Nations League games. And it could be the case here if Northern Ireland failed to get the job done. So I'm going to go for an Austria win 2-0. I think that's the value bet here for me.
Dan, how much will fatigue play into this one for Northern Ireland?
Yeah, fatigue could play a part. I mean, mentally, if they do get knocked out, that could be an issue as well. If they use the fringe players, the Northern Ireland squad isn't the deepest. So I'm actually going for exactly the same tip, Austria to win 2-0. That's shade of odds against. They've been far stronger than Northern Ireland in this group, got 9 points from 4 games. Northern Ireland just got the 1 point. You look back to the reverse fixture, Austria won 1-0. At Windsor Park, the shot count was 12-2. Now, if you're only having 2 shots in the home game, you know, you're unlikely to threaten much in the away game. So Austria got that bit of quality, as has been mentioned about, and got David Alaba in there from Bayern Munich, Sabitzer, who's been mentioned, the Leipzig player, got some extra quality there. So Austria to win 2-0.
These weekend games, will you be, waiting to see what happens in midweek before placing bets, or are you happy to go in now?
Well, you can do. I mean, if you've got a fairly strong opinion about what's going to happen in these Euro qualifiers, you could actually go in now and feed that into your bet for the weekend. Because if Ireland were to get knocked out by Northern Ireland, by Slovakia, then you would imagine because of the mental downside of that Austria's price would possibly shorten even more. So if you've got a firm opinion, then yes, maybe anticipate and go early.
Okay. Warren, what's your thoughts on this game?
I'm going to make it a hat-trick of exactly the same betting suggestion. Austria to win 2-0. I get your point about whether Northern Ireland win or not, but I do think that it is pretty much going to be after the Lord Mayor's show whether they win or not. And it's hard to pick yourself back up for a game straight away off the back of what was such a crucial match in midweek to then, turn up for an away game in Austria, who are a pretty decent side. I mean, they've won 4 in a row and they've kept clean sheets in the last 3 as well. We mentioned Alaba and Sabitzer, and you could argue that they are top level players, but you wouldn't say necessarily star players in that team. They're just a solid work ethic, really. And I just think for Northern Ireland, it's too much of an ask to turn it around that quickly, as we said earlier on, with a relatively thin squad.
Definitely. Two teams we've already spoken about coming up next. Slovakia taking on Scotland. 2 p.m. kickoff this one on Sunday. Sky Sports Football, the channel. Jonathan, how are Paddy Power going for this?
We're going 13-8 Slovakia, 11-5 the draw, and 8-5 Scotland.
We've talked about, sides who've got midweek action and then UEFA Nations League action at the weekend. Both of these sides with that kind of run. Does that make it difficult to have a strong opinion on?
Yeah, it does. It's dependent on, to me, what happens in these, as we've touched on earlier, it depends what happens in these UEFA qualifiers, really. For me, it's a difficult one. Depends, obviously, if you win, you're sort of going to be on cloud 9. Whereas if you obviously get beat, it's going to be hard to get yourself motivated. It's a difficult one. I'm probably going to side with under 2.5 goals in this one. I wouldn't really like to have a fancy on Scotland particularly 8-5 away. I'm going to stick with under 2.5. I think this could play out to be a bit of a dull and not so entertaining game for me.
Danny, what kind of angle are you going for here?
Similar to the angle I've just mentioned, actually. I'm going to base my selection on who I think is more likely to get through to the Euros and therefore get that boost rather than being on a real downer. So I'm going to go for a Slovakia tentatively. I think they're more likely to get past Northern Ireland than Scotland are to get past Serbia. So I think the teams are quite well matched, similar qualities. I think they're probably stronger at the back, Slovakia and Scotland, than they are going forward. But I'll just give Slovakia the edge at the prices.
Yeah, Warren, I mean, Scotland's game this evening on Thursday is massive for them. And like you said, even if they win or lose, it's going to take such a lot of mental and physical capacity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I hate to be the doom monger here, but I think this is going to be one of those international games to forget. And I actually think it's pretty nailed on for it to be a 0-0 correct score here. I really do, because like we said earlier on, with after the Lord Mayor's show, both Slovakia and Scotland will have given their all one way or another to try and get past Northern Ireland and Serbia respectively. And, you know, a few days later, then they'll probably just think, don't want to lose this Nations Cup game, Nations League game, in order to sort of stay in the group. Slovakia have only won one of their 8 Nations League games so far. And they did lose 1-0 to Scotland at Hampden last month. Don't think there's a huge amount of goals in both teams, to be honest with you. And a 0-0 correct score is 15-2.
That's a very firm 0-0 selection, Warren. I love that. Final Nations League game we'll be going through today. Wales against Republic of Ireland, 5 p.m. on Sunday. And Jonathan takes away with the prices.
Yeah, we've got evens Wales, 2-1 the draw and 3-1 the Republic of Ireland.
Will you be having a few pennies on that even money, Wales?
I think so, yeah. I think Wales win 2-0 probably, just to boost the price up a little bit for me. Like we discussed previously, the attacking threat for the Republic is sort of a concern. And I just think Wales defensively look sure enough at the back with Ampadu and Rodon. And I just think going forward, James, Bale and Tyler Roberts as well, who's not really met his full potential yet at Leeds, but I think they'll be very difficult to handle for Ireland. They haven't had a very good record against Wales in recent years. I think it's sort of been tasty games in the past. There's sort of been a fair few bookings flying around. So I'd probably look at the overbookings markets in this game as well, overbookings points. But for me, Wales win 2-0, or even just Wales for the match. I think they're two main players in this game for me.
Dan, how much can we read into that England-Wales game a little while back?
Not a lot, because I mean it's actually a game where Wales played a lot of fringe players in that game because they were sort of focusing on the Nations League. And I think this could feed into this. I think that Wales are really targeting the Nations League. They've got 10 points from the 4 games, in a great position in the group. And I think this will be their, they'll pick their strongest team here. And I'm not sure, maybe Ireland won't. Ireland are only on 2 points in the group, and they've got that big prestige friendly against England, a few days before. Maybe Ireland's team, won't be the absolute strongest. And even if it was, as we mentioned earlier, that there is a real lack of a goal threat in that Ireland squad without Connolly or Callum Robinson available. You look at Wales up front, you've got Bale now, he's getting a bit fitter. So he's more likely to make an impact. And the support cast is, there's other options there. Harry Wilson, I've been watching recently in the Championship for Cardiff. He's been looking good, playing well. David Brooks has just come into the side for Bournemouth. He's playing well. Kiefer Moore, who plays a lot for Wales up front, has been looking good as well. So just think that they've got quite a bit about them going forward. And at the back, they're really solid as well. No goals conceded for Wales in the group so far. So, Ireland, they're quite a solid side. And they'll can make life tough for you. Don't expect a lot of goals, but I think even money Wales is fair enough.
Warren, a fan of Wales as well?
I have been in the past, but I hadn't been massively impressed with them, Jack, to be honest, over recent games. And I'm kind of edging towards the draw here a little bit. I think Wales at evens, I find it hard to be convinced that they're going to... If somebody was to sit here and tell me that Gareth Bale will be fully fit and will be able to play, then I would probably certainly edge towards Wales. But whether that's going to be the case, we'll have to wait and see. I would edge towards the draw, as I say, at 2-1. 3 of the last 6 meetings between these sides have been draws, and the 2 other meetings were decided by Two of the other meetings, you should say, were decided by just one goal. So it is going to be tight. I think Jonathan mentioned earlier on, there's no love lost between these two teams after an injury to Seamus Coleman in a game a couple of years back. And there's been a number of matches between the two sides of late. So they know each other pretty well. And that's why I think it'll be very tight. Also, Dan touched upon there, David Brooks. Noticed that he's 7-2 to score at any time. Been in really good form for Bournemouth in the Championship of late. So that might be something to look at. But yeah, I'm not wholly convinced by Wales. So that's why I'm going for the draw.
Lovely stuff. That's the international football done for today. Let's get into the proper stuff. EFL football coming up.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back to part three of the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post. Some brilliant insight from the gents in terms of the Nations League and Euros qualifying action. But we do also have some League One and League Two football coming up this weekend, and I'm sure the panel will have some insight onto that as well. Dan, we'll start with you. Some really good games actually. Sunderland MK Dons taking my eye in League One. Any fancies across the divisions?
Yeah, got a fancy in League Two. A bit of a promotion battle. I mean, if it's too early to say that, I'm not sure. But Carlisle at home to Cheltenham. I fancy Carlisle at 13-10 to get the job done. Chris Beattie's side have been playing with lots of intensity about their play this season. Got a 100% home record in the league, 5 wins. They are missing a key attacker, Jimmy Toure, who's looked really good for them this season. He's suspended, but they're still scoring plenty of goals. John Mellish, a midfielder who's been converted from a defender, he's got 10 goals in all competitions this season. So they're getting goals. I think they have the edge over Cheltenham, who've started the season well, but they have lost their last two away games, 2-1 at Port Vale, and even more worryingly, 2-1 at Oldham, who are struggling this season. Tough trip for them up to Cumbria, so Carlisle for me there.
Great stuff, Jonathan. Any teams take your eye?
Yeah, I'd sort of looking in terms of League Two. Forest Green potentially to beat Mansfield at even money is the best price available out there. You know, Mansfield have failed to win this season, and Forest Green are sort of high flying at the top. I just think Forest Green at home, that probably represents a little bit of value to me. Looking quickly at the internationals. Georgia to beat Macedonia in the other qualifier this evening. I've backed Georgia at 7-2 to win their qualifying path. And I just think there's potentially a little bit of value to be had there for Georgia this evening in the Euro 2020 qualifiers.
I don't think I've ever had a bet on Georgia, but you've convinced me there. Warren, any other teams that you'd like to look off this weekend?
Yeah, I like a good new manager bounce, I have to say, Jack. And I think on that note, Friday night's game is an interesting one as Bolton play host to Salford in League Two. Richie Wellens has recently taken charge at Salford. And to me, at 5-4 to win at Bolton looks like a really good price. Bolton have only won 1 of 5 at home so far this season. And Salford got a good win at Rochdale last week as well. 6 more points Salford have got than Bolton so far this season, having played a game less, which suggests that there's a gulf between the sides anyway. And with a new manager in charge as well, I do think 5-4 looks like a really good price.
Yeah, because they were two sides who were tipped up by a lot of sort of shrewd judges going into the season, weren't they? And Bolton just haven't seemed to fire yet.
No, they started slowly in the first 2 or 3 games. They got a couple of wins under their belt, but then it just seemed like the momentum stopped. And yeah, I think it'll be real frustration for Bolton to look down the table and see that they're, you know, in the bottom half of the league. And for all of us that remember their time in the Premier League, it seems unthinkable that, you know, they could be even dragged out of the league at this stage.
Yeah, absolutely balmy. Right, time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, as always, a treble put together from our panel. It will be enhanced on the Paddy Power website very kindly from the people over there. And Jonathan, we'll start with your nap for this week.
I'm going to go for Sunderland to beat MK Dons. I think they're just about a shade of odds on it, 10 to 11, 5 to 6. I think that represents some good value. Sunderland at home, they're generally strong. They've only lost to Portsmouth this season at the Stadium of Light. Milton Keynes Dons, sort of your mid-table team. I don't think they're going to pull up any great shakes here, and I think Sunderland probably will get the job done for me at home on Saturday.
Sunderland going to the treble. Dan, what about you?
I'm going to stick with League Two. I'm going to go with Cambridge home to Barrow. I mean, it looks there's a bit of odds against around about Cambridge here. I mean, they were second in the division. Barrow struggling. It looks a great price to me. They're top scorers in the EFL with 24 goals. They've got 14 points from 18 at home. Last home game, they beat big spending Salford 2-1. And then on the negative side for Barrow, they've won two matches out of 11 this season. I mean, they were fairly recent, but they were both against teams that finished the game with 10 men. They beat Mansfield 4-2 at Field Mill and won 1-0 at home to Bradford, who had Levi Sutton, I believe, sent off in the first half. So, you know, that's their only two wins of the season. They're now going away to the second-place team, Cambridge, who I really rate this season. They're a very well-organised side by Mark Bonner and scoring their goals. So, yeah, Cambridge. And also, Cambridge got the incentive go top of the table because Newport, who are top at the moment, their game at Grimsby has been postponed. Incentive for them.
I feel like you're gonna become a Cambridge fan in the coming weeks, Dan. You seem to tip them up every week. Can we see you on the terraces at the Abbey soon?
Yeah, well, yeah, possibly. Yeah, yeah. They're doing me proud so far this season. So absolutely, yeah.
Great stuff. No, I've enjoyed watching Cambridge this season. And Warren, you can complete the enhanced treble this week.
Yeah, I'm going into League Two as well, Jack. And I think, putting my neck on the block here, that it's a really, really good price for Exeter to win away at Bradford. 13-8 for Exeter. Now, Bradford are 15th in League Two, which is shocking. We mentioned Bolton earlier on, but for a size of the club that Bradford are, really to see them that low down, it is massively disappointing. They've won 3-0 and 7-0 in a week. So you might look and think, well, actually, why would you go against them? But the 3-0 win was against Southend in the league, who looked by far the weakest team in that league. And then the 7-0 was against non-league Tonbridge Angels, and that's papered over the cracks. They lost 3-1 at home to Oldham in the EFL trophy in midweek. And in contrasting form to that, Exeter are unbeaten in 11 in all competitions. They're up to fourth in League Two. Having seen bits of Bradford of late, they've looked really, really shaky at the back. And I think Exeter could collect all 3 points. The 13-8.
Yeah, that's a juicy-looking treble. Cambridge United, Sunderland and Exeter go into the treble this week. The naps from the gents there. Go over to the Paddy Power website and you should be able to find that enhanced for you. Thank you so much to Dan, Warren and Jonathan. Some fantastic insight there for some tricky international fixtures. I always struggle with these games, so it's great to see what they're thinking and a little bit of knowledge for the EFL this weekend as well. If you are having a bet, please do remember to gamble responsibly, and we'll be back next week on Thursday for another football podcast. Have a wonderful weekend and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.